A connecting experience, according to my friend Henry, is anything that links your present life to some wellspring of meaning hidden deep in your past. Henry was a priest, so for him, communion was a connecting experience, the bread and wine linking him to the sacramental mysteries of the faith. For me, it's picking blackberries. When I was growing up in North Louisiana, the road we lived on intersected with Highway 171 just beyond Dead Man's Curve. Our house was about a quarter of a mile before you got to the infamous bend in the road, which if you did not negotiate, you ended up in a stagnant pond, which many an amorous Chevy-driving teenage boy and his date did on warm summer Saturday nights. Between our house and Dead Man's Curve on the right, at about the point where you began to slow down in anticipation of the sharp bend to the left, was a row of tangled, uninviting brambles that produced tiny clusters of white flowers in the late spring and shiny black berries in early summer. There was some disagreement in my family about the correct identification of the berries. My Uncle Alver, who lived across the field, said, "Blackberries are bigger and sweeter than those sour little things you're picking. What you're picking is dewberries." Such fine-line folk botanical distinctions were lost on a 10-year-old boy, fresh out of the fifth grade at Werner Park Elementary School, ready for a summer of casual fun. Every summer, from as early as I can remember, I walked down the road to the berry patch, straddled the ditch, which by then was dry or almost dry, and surveyed the scene. Most folks would see the outermost, uppermost berries, the ones that got the most sun and dried out quickest. Several summers' experience had taught me to work my hands cautiously under and between the prickly brambles until I found the most desirable berries, hidden from the sight of less skilled pickers. When my baseball cap, or perhaps the helmet liner my dad brought back from the war, was filled to the brim, I headed home with my newly picked bounty. I dumped the berries in a bowl, heaped sugar on top, and if my parents were not looking, poured over the beautiful mound the rich, thick cream that rose to the top of the milk bottle. Then, with the bottom of a spoon, I mashed the luscious berries until the golden cream was creamy purple. It was as fine an afternoon snack as I could imagine. It's hard to believe that more than half a century separates me from those youthful berry-picking days. I've grown up, gone places, done things. I've changed. And though I wish that the places of my childhood remained in reality, as they're frozen in my memory, it is not so. The road we lived on is still there, but someone has taken the kink out of Dead Man's Curve. The stagnant pond is gone. If you fail to negotiate what's left of the once-dreaded curve, you will end up in a pawn shop parking lot. The berry vines were mowed down and paved over when the road was widened to make way for the hordes of shoppers who would be drawn to the South Park Mall. Our house, which was boarded up for years after the last of my relatives found it necessary to live in it, was burned to the ground by the fire department as a practice exercise for rookie firefighters. It had become an eyesore, some said, standing in ignominious decay within 50 feet of the shiny new J.C. Penney's Automotive Service Center. Recollections of those berry-picking days of my childhood were long forgotten until a few summers ago. I was walking down a gravel road on the backside of Beech Mountain on the North Carolina-Tennessee border when I came across a mass of tangled spiked vines that protected large black berries. With skills unused for decades, I searched the green shadows for berries that still met my exacting specifications. Black, not red, not even wine red. Slightly soft to the touch, not firm, but not mushy. Then, like a child baptizing a new summer, I rushed back to the cabin, my mismatched plastic containers filled with berries. After a quick ritualistic cleansing, not necessary, except to satisfy certain members of the family who do not know that nothing nature has made is common or unclean, I filled the bowl with berries, heaped a packet of artificial sweetener on top, and bathed the white-capped blue mound with 2% milk, begrudging concessions to advancing age and cholesterol concerns. Then, with the bottom of a spoon, I mashed the berries until the thin blue milk was a deep, rich purple. Henry was not there, nor any other priest, to consecrate this newly liquefied fruit of the vine. But it was a sacramental meal nonetheless, connecting this middle-aged man with the boy he once was, and the things that meant so much to him.